tape territory. This film has been restored and audio described.
A McGraw-Hill Text Films emblem, a book and a strip of film, Psychology for Living Series, Habit Patterns, copyright 1954 by McGraw-Hill Book Company, a thick book correlated with Psychology for Living by Sorensen and Mao, black, then a dark bedroom, its wallpaper printed with irises, a dresser heaped with clothes under a lamp, a bed with things strewn on it. A fair girl in a pale sweater, a scarf at her neck, stands in the corner crying, a hand pressed to her chest.
It's a little late for tears, isn't it, Barbara? Even though you didn't know it was going to happen today, you've still had your whole life to prepare for it. Of course, you've gotten into the habit of not being prepared. And now it's a little late, isn't it?
She cries on, face turned up, eyes shut.
You're a creature of habit, Barbara. We all are. Unfortunately, not all of your habits are good ones. This was how your day started. Started wrong.
Morning, the same girl asleep in bed, an alarm clock on the night table.
Your neighbor, Helen, is a creature of habit, too. But she got up when the alarm went off. Because, Barbara, that's what she really had in mind when she said it.
Helen, dark-haired, sits up in bed and swings her feet to the floor.
Helen has trained herself to know what she's going to do, in what order, and where the things are to do it with. She really doesn't have to think about it. She already knows what clothes she's going to wear today. As it turned out, it was a special day for Helen, too. But she makes a habit of being ready for special days. She starts by having a place for things and keeping them there.
In a patterned robe, Helen brushes her hair at a dressing table mirror.
She uses taste in selecting her clothes. But more than that, she keeps them clean and mended. And she's able to match the right skirt with the right sweater.
She takes folded under things from a drawer, then a dress from a closet where the hangers stand in a row.
This was going to be a special day for you, but you hadn't gotten very far with your preparations for it. Was your whole family asleep? No, your mother was up. Had been for an hour.
Barbara sleeps on. Her mother calls up the stairs.
Does she have to do this every morning, Barbara?
Barbara, do you hear me?
If your mother stopped acting like a second alarm clock for even one day, you'd probably think it was a dirty...
Pete's sake, I hear you. I'm up!
You didn't seem at all appreciative. Even if you're not really well-mannered, you could make a habit of being civil. And you weren't really up when your mother called you. Little lies are such a firm foundation for big ones. You started your day with no plan at all. Looking for your hairbrush? Can't remember where you left it?
Barbara paused through the clutter on her dressing table.
You forgot other important things today.
She holds up a blouse and turns the collar over. It needs mending. She tosses it aside.
You meant to fix that collar, but you've gotten into the habit of putting things off. There are so many things you plan to do this coming Saturday or the one after that. Let's see. You found the algebra notebook you lost. The ski pants you meant to put away in the chest. The afghan you started to knit last summer. And, oh yes, the sweater you were looking for.
She pulls out a dark skirt, then the sweater, and holds it up, a large spot on the front. She stares at it.
You decided to cover the spots on your sweater with a scarf. You often do that. But you can't forget that the spots are there. If you had a habit plan for your mornings, you might get off to a decent start someday. Helen has a habit plan, and it includes a healthy breakfast and a pleasant word with her parents.
Helen drinks her milk.
All three always enjoyed Mr. Elliot's comments on the news. It was time to get started for office and school. Helen's dad would drop her on the way downtown. And who could ask for a nicer way to go to school?
Outside, Mr. Elliot walks to a light sedan in the drive, backs out past a dark car, and drives off down the tree-lined street.
Your brother was ready, but your father couldn't wait for you. Or you could have driven to school with him. He used to enjoy that drive, too.
A plate of eggs and toast, untouched.
Your eggs were cold this morning, but you had no time to be picky about food or to think about your diet.
Barbara grabs toast.
No time for milk, or even to say good morning. No time for manners.
She bolts her toast.
You made a pretty picture with your rumpled skirt, your spotted sweater, and your hair in a tizzy.
Barbara runs out.
As usual, all your neighbors knew how late it was when you went by at your regular dog trot. You were late for school this morning, but then you're almost always late, and you're guilty about it. More so because your lateness is habitual. You're in a rut with a bad habit, and the longer you stick with the habit, the deeper the rut gets. When you saw Helen, you suddenly felt envious. But more than that, you felt a distaste for your sloppy ways. And you knew you could do something about them if only... That wasn't a happy thought, was it? Or do you always drum with your fingers?
In class, Barbara slumps at her desk with her chin in her hand, a dark-haired girl beside her, Helen. Then the corridor after class, students crowding past. Barbara stands by the wall with her books.
You were just chatting away with Helen when it happened, when the day suddenly turned into something special. You've never been friends with Ann Tolliver, and you've always wanted to be.
Hi.
Hi.
Some of the crowd's coming over to my house right after school. Do you think you two could make it?
Well, that'd be fun, Ann. I'd love to.
Swell. Well, what do you say, Bobby?
Sure, thanks.
Okay, see you later.
Bye. It'll be fun, won't it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, bye.
Each school year sees new groups forming, old ones reforming. Yours is a changing social world, and the opportunities to be part of it must be taken when they arise. You knew this afternoon that you were making a bad impression, and you knew how easy it is not to be invited again, and how quickly you can be left out of the crowd.
At Ann's, Barbara sips a drink.
You were embarrassed by your messy hair and the fingernails you had neglected to clean.
A living room, girls in armchairs round a lamp. Barbara sits apart with a glass.
You worried about the spots on your sweater, Barbara. But what really showed up were your habits. You didn't find it very pleasant comparing yourself with the others.
What?
I said, what do you think?
You weren't listening. You seldom do. It's a habit of yours.
I guess I don't know much about it.
They were talking about a popular book. All your friends were interested, but you never got into the habit of reading books.
The whole problem was that Claudia wanted to be free to do all the things she'd never been allowed to do.
Well, that was her whole reason for leaving her family.
And then she married back to the same kind of life.
Well, that's why I think the book's stupid. Why couldn't she have seen...
No, you added nothing to that conversation.
The trouble with me is getting started. I always have to force myself to do new things.
I'm the same way. I didn't even want to go to my first concert because I thought it would be too long-haired. Oh, but the music is wonderful. I'm going to go to the whole series.
My mother had to drag me to the museum. But they have a wonderful costume exhibit there. I got an idea for a new dress.
Oh, what kind?
You've never taken an interest in music or politics or art.
Barbara, standing, launches in.
We always go to the beach. Every year we take a cottage at Essex.
You've only been once.
There's wonderful swimming and lots of boys.
It's quiet where we go.
Sometimes... And there are tennis courts at the hotels, too, and dances every weekend.
That sounds grand.
And it's just a short way to the city.
You couldn't help interrupting, could you? And you couldn't help stretching truth like a rubber band. We all like to talk about ourselves, but a soliloquy isn't a conversation. First, you didn't talk at all, and then you did all the talking. Conversation is a two-way street, but for you, it's either one way or a dead end.
Goodbye. I hope you had a very nice time.
Thank you. I did. Bye.
See you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Goodbye, Barbara. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Thank you.
Bye.
In all society, at all ages, we know that people are going to talk about other people. Unfortunately, our faults are often more discussed than our good points. And sometimes our good points are completely hidden by our faults. But perhaps worst of all is our own disappointment in ourselves and the remarks we imagine our friends are making about us.
Gee, I think dirty fingernails are horrible.
Maybe she felt shy. A spotted sweater isn't shyness. And bad manners are still bad manners, no matter what you call them.
Now, in your own room, the memory of this day stands between you and your whole pattern of behavior. Where will you start? Your complexion? That starts with soap and water and goes on to regular meals and the right kind of food. Your hair? It's more than just a shampoo, when you happen to think of it. Your clothes? Not just cleaned when your mother takes them away from you, but a system of cleaning. For all of a pattern, a network of habits. Helen checks her clothes for cleaning when she takes them off. That's a habit of hers. This morning, Helen took her skirt from the front of the closet. Tonight, she hangs it in the back. That's a habit, too. One on the plus side. It gives clothes a chance to hang, rests the fabric. Tonight, Helen makes a plan for tomorrow. A what to wear, what to do, when to do it design for living. Helen has the habit of being ready for special days.
Helen hangs her robe over a chair, turns back the covers, and in bed under the lamp writes tomorrow's list on a pad, then opens a book.
Good habits save time and energy and give us greater freedom to do those extra things we want to do.
Barbara's dressing table tidy now, the jars in a row. She sits before it in her nightgown, looks up at herself in the mirror, touches her hair and smiles.
Yes, a good start. But these improvements are not yet habits, not by any means. They must happen again and again, until they fit into the fabric of the days without conscious thought. If you try, really try, you can root out the poor accidental habits and establish in their place the good habits approved by custom, accepted by society.
Barbara, in embroidered pajamas, stands over the sweater and skirt dumped on a chair. She sits on the bed, switches off the lamp, and lies down. In the dark, she stares at the ceiling. Then she gets up, picks up the skirt, shakes it out, folds it and lays it on the chair, and folds the sweater on top of it. The tidy chair. Then, from the garden at night, a lit window with a figure moving in it.
Across the street, Helen's light goes out. Reasonable hours are part of her pattern. And you, Barbara? Well, you've had a hard day. But staying awake to think about it won't help it any. Go to bed early for a change. Give yourself a good start on a new day.
The window goes dark. A card. The end. Produced for McGraw-Hill Book Company by Knickerbocker Productions, New York.